We're going to continue on this journey of discovering just the basic ability to discern and to be able to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to respect the anointing on our lives, and also corporately to know where God has placed us in the church so that we can optimally function for that place where God has called us to. And so one of the big challenges for us, especially for the church called the charismatic church, is the fact that so many of us think that because we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit once, that now we've arrived. We're actually better than the other churches around the corner. But there are many churches and Christians that are not spiritful that I know who are bearing much more fruit than people that just jump up and down and say nice stuff. Because you know what? It's so important that once you've received a gift, that you don't just dance around the gift, but that you actually begin to use the gift, apply the gift for its reason or function that it's been given to you. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 it says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You see, at the place where we come to be able to say, "I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm not just somebody who tries to have a little word of knowledge here or a bit of experience or a Christian event over there." It's very simply solid food. I can walk in the fullness of Christ. I can become a mature Christian because of the reason of use. I'm exercising my spirit. I'm exercising my spirit every day, just like you go to the gym or like you would run and or walk for exercise for your body to function optimally. In the same way, you need to exercise your spirit. You need to come to that place where you can walk in the fullness of God. Why? Because then you can be able to discern what is good, what is evil. So you won't get deceived. Why? Because you are practicing the gifts. You are walking into that place of fullness. And it's very exciting to know that you and I, just as we have natural senses, we also have spiritual senses. And that spiritual senses means that we need to hear, we need to taste, we need to see that God is good. You know, I always thought like, how do I come and taste and see that God is good? Do I take the Bible and lick the Bible? What do I do? Come and taste and see that God is good. You know, we have spiritual exercises that we need to do regularly. And we need to come to that place where we say, "God, I want to not just be able to go to the gym and do a 5 kilogram gym course. I want to, the 5 must become 10 and the 10 must become 20, because why? I must grow spiritually." So there's a couple of stuff that we need to focus on. You need to be able to discern the message. You know, in Acts chapter 2 verse 17, the scripture says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." You know, young, old, everybody should be able to know where God is going. And so we also need to, you know, when scripture talks about seeing God, it's about mental images, it's about visions, it's about dreams. Dreams should be part of our lives. You know, visions where we have a supernatural encounter with God, the ability to see. I remember once talking to a guy, and this guy is talking about lots of factual stuff. And as I'm talking to him, God is opening up my spiritual senses, and I begin to see the place in the natural way what he's talking about. And I realized, but this guy's lying to me, because everything he says is not lining up to what is actually happening at that site of what he's talking about. And so at the end I said to him, "No, you're lying to me. It's not one, but there are three people, and they're busy doing this, this, and this, and this, and you are not honest." And the guy eventually repented, because he said, "Yes, I know that I'm talking a lie. I'm not sharing the truth." Because that was an open vision, that even in the natural, God can open up the spiritual realm. Just like he did with Peter when the animals were lifted down, or they came down through the air, and God says, "Hey, don't say what I've called clean to be unclean." Or sometimes God will do supernatural stuff. He wants us to see. He wants us to see what's actually happening around us. Otherwise, what we will do as Christians is we will just react to our circumstances all the time. We'll just say, "Hey, look at how bad the circumstances, so I'm going to walk by sight. I'm not going to walk by faith." So discerning the message is so important, and the ability to see what God is doing. And we need to exercise that. We need to keep each other accountable concerning even the things God has said to us. You know, sometimes we think accountability is just about, "Hey, keep out of sin." But we saw that they're spiritual sins. And in the same way, we need to get into the place where we say, hey, I want to be walking in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's the place where we really need to be accountable. And we need to say, hey, how are you practicing the gifts of God on your life? When we come to small group together, has everybody got a word? And how do we practice that even just in our smaller groups? What is our conversation about when we are at socials? Now we talk about the weather, we talk about the sport, we talk about a lot of stuff, but is God really involved in our lives in that place where we're exercising our spirit? You know, it says, therefore, you know, just like we need to walk in the spirit and not walk in the flesh, there's a battle inside of us, that ability to hear God's voice, that ability to see what God is doing. So hearing God's voice is so important. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 to 13, we see how Elijah ran away and then God came to the place and he said to him, oh, well, Elijah, I'm not in the big storm. I'm not in the big noise. I'm not in the lightning. I am speaking to you in the still small voice. And that is our challenge, is the ability to hear God's voice. Now, let me just say this, that many people believe a lie. If you're a Christian, you hear God's voice. Don't ever say, I don't hear God's voice, if you're a Christian. Because Jesus said in John 10 that my sheep hear my voice. And he's always talking to us. He's always revealing himself to us. The only thing is, you and I must be able to tune in to what he's saying. It's just like when I'm sitting here, there are many voices around. You know, somebody's stomach may make a noise. Somebody, you know, there's radio frequencies. There's stuff all over the place. And I need to tune out those other voices to be able, like a radio frequency, be able to tune into that specific station. And when my tuner is right, when there's a witness of the Spirit, then the ability to hear is really easy. But when you're between the stations, everything is like, you know, everything makes a noise. And that is why distractions needs to get out of the way. There are many times lots of distractions, and it's the crises in our lives that scream the loudest. But you and I must exercise our spirit by learning first just the discipline to say, hey, be still my soul and know that he is God. The ability to quiet your soul, the ability to quiet the circumstances. Because if you're going to spend time with God in the morning, but you're not going to be able to get out of bed and you're going to lie in bed and just lie there and sleep and say, oh, you know, then the spirit of delay is going to take just occupation of your soul and your physical body. But when you stand up and you walk around and you speak the word of God, why? You're disciplining your body. And this is part of just hearing God's voice, the ability to quiet all the other voices. So there are many things, and that's why we need to learn also the witness of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit inside of us. And you know, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32, it says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You know, there's a thing going on in the, especially charismatic church that says, you know, I was, you know, the spirit whacked me and bammed me and I lied on the floor and 3 hours later there was nothing happening. You know, I didn't know what really happened to me. But that scripture says that you make a choice. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the will of the prophet. You decide when you're going to open the door for the Holy Spirit and you decide when not. So very important, our will and our spirit moves together. Yeah, and so this thing of, you know, I was just out of it. I didn't know what was happening. And 5 days later, I woke up, you know, that is not biblical. It's very simply, you make a choice. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and because God allows us to come into his presence, but he respects our choice. He respects our will. And that's why it's so important that we learn to engage our spirits. Because just let me make it practical. You know, sometimes we come into church and we know there's going to be 2 songs and then announcements and then another 3 songs. So by the 4th song, you suddenly realize, oh, I must actually focus now. And then there's 1 song, you know, and now you're getting deep into it. But what was wrong? You either submitted to the flesh or you were just socializing before the time, or you came late to church. You didn't actually even prepare coming to church. So you just rushed in there. So now what's happening? There's distractions in your head. Your day is screaming. Everything, you know, the circumstances, you know. But we need to be good ground for the word of God. Otherwise, the keys of the world, the birds of the air, the hardness of the ground, the stuff that will choke the word inside of us. So we need to prepare the soil bed of our hearts and of our spirits for the word of God to come, or for that moments when we're going to worship God. You know, and it's just the discipline we need to come into. And in that way, you sharpen and you exercise hearing the voice of God, and you grow into that place of witnessing and being true to what God says to you, and then being obedient to that. So that is so exciting when you and I embark on that journey and become disciplined disciples of Christ, because now we learn that our spirits and our bodies are subject to our spirits. We should actually rule out of our spiritual realm, out of the place, you know. And that's why it says the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a son of God. The Holy Spirit helps you in this place of embarking on a spiritual journey. You know, unfortunately, in the church in the West, we have become so humanistic and in such a postmodern way that we worship the flesh much more than the spiritual realm, where many of the more Eastern and African cultures, you know, they're used to a spiritual realm through animism and lots of things like that. People, it's just natural for them. They say everything is spiritual. That's why some people can throw papers on the ground and don't care for the nature, because they just say it doesn't really matter, because what really matters is the spiritual world. But for many cultures, the natural matters more than the spiritual world. So we need to find that place of becoming biblical Christians again, that place of knowing the gifts. And that's why we must have a certain attitude towards the gifts and towards God's operation in our lives. You know, the scripture says a lot of things, but it says simply, you know, in 1 Peter 4 verse 10, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The gifts on your life, you must steward it. You can lose the gifts, you know. So the more you use it, like exercising your gifts, the more you grow in it. But you can also lose the use of the gifts. It's not like God is never going to take away the gifts from you. It says the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable, meaning he doesn't draw it back. That's why some people can operate in the supernatural and say even stuff in the name of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus anymore, because God gives the gifts and he doesn't draw it back. So some people obviously abuse the gifts, but then most people just neglect the gifts. They just say, hey, I'm so used to not having the supernatural in my life that I don't, you know, I don't actually mind. And it's really not, I'm a spirit-filled Christian, but you know what? When I read the book of Acts, I don't know about you, I get convicted, because I think, Lord, this is my inheritance. This is my birthright. What happened here in the church coming back, which Jesus is coming back for, must be greater than that first church, because the church is making herself ready. She's pure, she's spotless, she's a bride without blemish. She's a victorious church. And so we must step into our birthright. And so a couple of things that scripture talks about concerning our attitude towards the gifts is, it says, firstly, desire spiritual gifts. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly, in verse 39, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. It says, even in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in the King James, it says, covet, you know, jealously yearn for it. It's not a competition with other people, but that place where you say, hey, I desire to get into my birthright. I desire to walk in that fullness. And this is a massive challenge, because we sometimes lose our hunger. We lose our thirst for the things of God, because we so get used to our circumstances and living out of the flesh. But that's why James chapter 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So we must desire spiritual gifts. If you desire something according to scripture, it will benefit. It will enhance your relationship with God. It's a blessing. And it will make you see God and experience God and hear God. And you just say, like, wow, this is it. I'm not just a slave for God. I'm a son of God. I can partake of his divine nature. I can represent him. The fact that God chooses you and me to represent him in the earth and to share, you know, his love and his presence with other people. What a privilege, what a place to be. The second thing that it also talks about is the fact that we must stir up the gifts. You know, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, stir up the gifts, fan the flame, some translation says. It's like a little fire that you have, and now, you know, there's wood and you must throw more wood on it. You must get this flame, you must get this fire going. But if you leave that fire for 3 hours, you know it's going to burn out. So what do you need to do? You need to put wood on it. You need to put the word on it. You need to put obedience on it. And so you must fan the flame constantly, stir up the gifts. And it's not like, you know, I always thought like this idea that the Holy Spirit is going to fall on me and then I'm excited and then I'm just inspired. No, no, no. You need to position yourself to that place because you need to stir up the gifts. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit is going to stir up the gift. It says you're going to stir up the gifts. I'm going to stir up the gifts. That place of where we know God's will, we know the grace of God. It's not like we can say, yes, it's because we're good or because we've arrived or anything like that. It's just a question of stewardship. It's a place of ice saying, I am persuaded that God wants to use me. I know God wants to use me. Just like Paul would write about the love of God. He says, I'm persuaded of the love of Christ. The love of Christ compels me. And in the same way, we should be convinced that God wants to use you. And that's why we must stir up the gifts. We must get to that place where we say, hey, I want to use it, because if you don't use it, you lose the use of it. You don't lose the gift, but the use of it. And it's almost like having something in the garage and it just stands there. You never use it for its purposes. And so God wants us to be effective Christians. It doesn't mean that somebody that's not spirit-filled is that God doesn't love them or they're not saved. Hey, it's just like you're going to run a race and now you've got like boots on instead of tackies, you know, running shoes. And so God gives you running shoes, so use the running shoes. It just makes life much more effective and you can be able to run the race faster without blisters on your feet. That's why God wants us to walk in that place. So you need to continually stir up the gifts. And you know what? Just very important. All of us have got a basic ability to move in all nine gifts. There's some people that say you can only move in one. No, you can move in all nine gifts, but you also have a superlative ability or a specialized ability to move in one or two or three of those gifts. And sometimes they're connected to each other. And it's so important that you learn to discover where God wants to use you and how He wants to use you. I always just pray and say, God, send people to me that's got a need of the gifts of my life. Send people to me that I need to minister to. Why? Because I'm a minister. I'm a blessing to people. I remember one day the Lord said, I must start a sermon like this. Say, hey, I am here today because I am a blessing to you. And you need to receive me as a blessing. It was probably the toughest thing for me to do in many years. How do you start? You know, people are going to think you're ignorant. But if God says something, then you do it. And so I remember just getting a lot of deliverance out of it because I didn't believe actually that I was a blessing. I thought I'm doing a job, and so if I just do it correct, then maybe God is going to come to bless. But I'm a blessing because the Spirit of Christ is in me. And so I represent Him. And so when I walk in that authority, it's not because I'm good, but just simply as to who I represent. And so I'm going to do it with dignity. I'm going to do it with authority. I'm going to do it with respect and honor. And that's why it also says, don't be ignorant of the gifts. To mean ignorance means to have a lack of vision, to have a lack of comprehension, how it works, to be uninformed of something, to be unaware, to be inexperienced, or to be unfamiliar with it. See, many people just don't know how the gifts work. And because we don't know how the gifts work, and maybe we've had a negative experience, then we walk away from our birthright, walk away from what God has called us to do. And so ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. Because it says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It says in Romans 12 verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. God has given you a proportion of faith and you must use it. Use what God has given you. Then another thing the Bible says, do not neglect the gifts. You know, it says Hebrews 2 verse 3 and 4, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? When we neglect something, is like we lose it. We just like, hey, we just leave it there in the backyard. And then it gets rusty and the rain comes every season and eventually it fades away. It just breaks because we haven't looked after it. We haven't protected it because it's maybe, you know, hey, we need to constantly use it. Then it also says, do not despise the gift, you know. It means to make utterly nothing of something. Meaning that you just say, hey, look here, because of all the negative experiences, or know what I can see what's happening in those charismatic churches or whatever, because of all the negative stuff, we know what we're against, but we don't know what we're for. That's why we must desire spiritual gifts, because we want the real thing. If we see the false, don't run away, run to the real thing. Say, okay, now I can see how the devil is using this, but I want the real thing because I want God to be glorified through my life. And that's how God has made us. He's given us that ability because he didn't make you and then decided, when he's going to grow old, then I'm going to add a couple of gifts to him. Now, very simply, when God made you, he saw you as a whole person with your gifts intact, with everything, because you've been made in the image of God. So it's just like, hey, become a natural Christian by being a spiritual Christian first. So don't neglect it. Don't despise it. And then just very important, you know, we need to be hungry for it. We need to really say, God, almost like the word addicted. It needs to become, hey, God, this is my lifestyle. Because using the gifts and flowing in the supernatural should be our lifestyle. It shouldn't be an event. Every day, wherever we go, we're expecting God to move. We have an expectation that the kingdom of God is going to come. We've got an expectation that he's going to do stuff through us. And this is such a challenge for us because, you know, we sort of almost get discouraged because, hey, I've prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed. So now I form my doctrines around the one that didn't get healed instead of scripture that says, hey, pray, lay hands on the sick. You know, and a very important principle with this is it just says, hey, freely you've received, now freely give it away. Freely you've received, now freely give it away. It's more blessed to give than to receive because your capacity increases every time when you give. When there's an inflow and an outflow out of your life. That's what the difference between the Dead Sea and the Galilean Sea or the Red Sea in scripture or in Israel. It says, hey, there's life in the one sea and there's just death in the other one. The one has got lots of fish and lots of growth in it because there's an inflow and an outflow. And the other one only has an intake. There's only water that comes in. It becomes a stagnant thing, just salty, dead, nothing. Why? Because there's not a constant flow of life through it. And so that is very important. The more you give, the more you're going to receive. So that's by reason of use, have your spirits exercised. The more you use the gifts, the more you grow in the gifts. So don't be afraid, because I think the biggest challenge for people is they say, what if I'm going to miss God? What if it's not from God? What if I just hear myself? But you know, most of the times when you hear God's voice, it feels like your own voice inside. Not here, but here. And you need to learn how to grow in that place. You need to say to God, God, constantly I want it to become a lifestyle of giving, a lifestyle of looking where you are moving. It's not a performance thing. It's not running around because you try to find your identity in the things that you do. No, it's just because you love God, you know what is in his heart, you just start to give because that's his nature. God gives. God loves. He says, hey, we can only love him because he first loved us, because he gave love to us. And so when you and I begin to operate in the character of Christ, then our capacity grows and we have ability to just move in the fullness of God. We have ability just to go with what God has given us. But, you know, unfortunately, because of fear of man especially, we many times we hold back and we just think like, oh, what if I'm going to make a mistake? What if I'm going to be a failure? What if this? What if that? I pray for the guy and he doesn't get healed? What if I lay hands on this person? What if I miss God? You know? So don't be afraid. Fear is the opposite of faith. Faith is, hey, I'm going to step out there. And if I do it in love, do you know what? God will honor it. Even if you make a mistake. You know, if that person sees that you're doing it through love, then they're going to receive it. But if you come because you've arrived and you just want a target and you want somebody to change because, you know, you want the supernatural gift to manifest, then we may miss God because he does not represent the character of Christ, the love of God in our hearts. Because it says about Jesus, because of compassion, he was moved. And we're going to talk about that in the next session specifically, where we say, what are the keys or what are the doors that opens up the principle in using the gifts, in being able to flow in the supernatural, because sometimes we so run after the gifts that we miss God in that place. And just some of the guidelines, especially when we prophesy, especially when we test the spirits, in just some practical examples as well. And I want to encourage you in this next week to begin to ask God, in this next time to say, God, I want you to start using me. I want to move in the gifts. And Lord, give me pictures, give me ideas. When you go to a small group, take a word for somebody. When you go to church, go pray it up, prepare your heart and say, Lord, I'm here to give. I want to be part of your body. I want, Lord, to give and I want to make a difference in other people's lives. And let it become a lifestyle in your life in this week. Don't be a consumer Christian that just get critical and negative and offended because life is really about you, not about the glory of God. Let's go out there and see the kingdom of God come.